Welcome to Take Action and Get Profits with Michelle Stisham, where entrepreneurs come together to discuss business growth strategies, marketing ideas, techniques, and tips. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Michelle Stisham.
And welcome everybody. It's going to be one of those shows. I'm tripping over my tongue already, and we're just getting started. Like, literally, I haven't even welcomed you to the show yet. All right, guys, this is Michelle Stisham, and I want to welcome you to Entrepreneurs Take Action, Get Profits. All of it is awesome. It's a beautiful Monday here. I'm so excited that I moved my office back into my sunroom. I used to have my office in the front of the house. I moved it to the back of the house. And I have just the most beautiful lot with all these trees and birds, and I'm looking out the window, and there's a cardinal on my bird feeder. Just a beautiful Monday and beautiful weather. So I hope where you are, it is just as beautiful as it is here in the state of Louisiana today. A couple of things to get through before we get started. You know, we always do a little checking in. There's a couple of ways that you can get in touch with us. So first, you can join us on the phone if you would like, and our number is 347-989-1363. That's 347-989-1363. The second thing you can do is join us on Facebook at facebook.com/decisiveminds or facebook.com/toughtalkradio. Find us in both places. Like us in both places, follow us in both places, and talk to us in both places. So, and then the third way, absolutely, but you know, not the least, but the third is to follow us on iTunes. Take Action, Get Profits on iTunes.com, and you will, you'll want to get there and subscribe so that you get notifications when the shows come out. But you'll also find the last couple of years of shows there, and we've had phenomenal guests over the last couple of years. So I just wanted to make sure that you know how to stay connected with us. There's been a lot of really exciting stuff going on. You know, if you've been a listener of the show, you know that we did our Legacy Live event. Gosh, it was actually a month ago. I cannot believe it's been pretty much a whole month and a half since then. Anyway, following an event like that is really when we start to look at how we're going to, what does the next year look like? And are we doing that event again? And what's our marketing strategy to move more people into our company and finding out more about us and all kind of things? And we've got some really cool stuff that we were doing. And so I thought today that would be a great conversation for us to have before we bring on our guests, because they're marketing experts. We're going to have a lot of conversations about marketing today and some big thinkers as well. So that's really exciting. And I wanted to talk to you about, you know, the process of creating content, the topics and things that you are creating. And, you know, as a business coach, when I look at your business and I look at, you know, tell me, what are the things that you want to offer? Right. One of the things that I said that I was going to do in the fourth quarter of 2015 and then throughout 2016, I've got some very specific training pieces that I want to do. And I'm going to do a lot of them in 2-day in-person type situations. So I want to do in November in Houston. You guys will be learning more about it. But November 17th and 18th, we're going to do a 2-day speaker training, we will be talking about how to develop your talk and those kind of things, but this is speaking to make money, right? Speaking for profit. And so it's more around the idea of what materials do you need to have ready? How do you go out and get those speaking gigs? How do you create your one sheet? What should be on there? What does that look like? How do you write descriptions for your talks that draw people's attention? Makes them want to show up, makes them want to bring you in as the speaker. And then what materials do you have to give them to go out and market it? Because, you know, one of the things I am real clear about is that if I'm going to go somewhere to speak, I want to be sure that I'm looking at a full room. And so a lot of times the people who are bringing in speakers don't necessarily know how to market those speakers, and we have some assumptions going on that maybe they do. And so I want you to be ready for those kind of things. And so because of that, and so this process is going to happen throughout the year. I'll do one on speaking. I'll do one on sales. I'll probably do one maybe on some list building or something like that. I haven't decided what the third one will be. But so I know that I have that particular training coming up. So the next thing we did was we stopped and we looked at, okay, so what kind of content should we be putting out on a consistent basis that gets people's attention, has them start to look at the topic, right? Because a lot of times if you're an entrepreneur, if you are you know, a coach, author, you've got a particular program you want to fill, whatever that looks like, we get that we should be, that one of the strategies to be out in front of people is to be speaking. However, we don't necessarily jump off the ledge and go do it because there's a lot of fear, right? I don't have any information to give them. What am I going to talk about? All of those kind of things. So what we did was we sat down as a team and decided on topics that relate to that subject. And then we actually went out through the whole year. We pretty much have 52 topics at this point. But we're using a strategy where for 1 week we take a particular topic. So, for example, this last week the topic has been one sheet, right, your speaker sheet. And so we've created blog posts. I recorded a video for my video podcast. So I recorded a 7-minute video walking people through the four main pieces of a speaker sheet. And from there, we directed them to a download so that they opt into our list to actually download my speaker sheet, an example, to use it as an example. So we've created some new content, but really we are repurposing content we already had. I've taught this class that I'm going to teach in November. I've actually taught it to my private clients, and they're all out speaking and making great money with it, which is why I decided to do it as a class outside of my mastermind. So I took the content from the class that I've already taught. I used that to record the video. We are using my speaker sheet to download to get people onto the list, right? Because the video, they don't opt in for my video podcast. They don't necessarily opt in to see my blog post. We're using those blog posts to promote the video throughout social media, and the blog post also has a link to the download. You can see all this in action at decisiveminds.com/1-sheet. So decisiveminds.com/1-sheet. And you'll see there that it is the video that I recorded and the download button to the one sheet to get my speaker sheet. Now, next week we are moving. And actually, I think on this one, too, I need to go back and look at it. But we have a business assessment. So the next step, so now they're paying attention. We know they're interested in this topic. They've opted in to download the speaker sheet. So now they're on my list. They also get an offer immediately on the thank you page for the speaker sheet is an offer to purchase my book. So we've seen more book sales this week because of that. And then there's also an offer for them to take what we call our decisive business assessment. You can see that at decisiveassessment.com. It may be decisive assessments with an S, I'm not sure. Decisiveassessment.com. And so we've had several people download and then also buy the book and then also complete the assessment. The assessment takes them to a point where if they qualify, if their score is high enough, then they're given the opportunity to schedule an appointment with me to have a conversation about how we could work together. So I want you to see how full circle this goes, right? And it sounds complicated, but in reality, we've created a blog post, a video, and a download. That's it. All the other stuff is just the back end stuff that's normal. Every single opt-in we have, the thank you page has an offer for my book on it. That's what Brian Dice would call the tripwire, right? So we're always looking at how do we move them around, but my bigger goal is to get people into a conversation so I can talk to them about possibly working together on their business. And so what I love about this process is that they go step by step by step by step to the point where they ask for an appointment, and they're pretty much pre-sold before I even get on the phone with them. They're a perfect candidate for coming to my two-day, and they're also a perfect candidate for coaching. So it's a very interesting process, and I just kind of wanted to walk you through it. I don't remember which one is next because we actually are working on four of these at one time, but I did a video on how to create your irresistible talk description. I did a video on when you should turn down a speaking gig and how to know when to turn down a speaking gig. And then I did a video on making your speaking gigs worth it. So each one of those will have its own download, a checklist for most of them. And the checklist is the points that I have covered in the video. So, and again, at the bottom of the checklist, they're offered the assessment. On the thank you page, they're offered the book. And I'm telling you, it's working like a charm. So just wanted to share. It's something that you can implement in your business as well. All righty, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will talk to our first guest of the show. Talk to you in a little bit.
Lauren Jano is an elite international certified high performance coach, author, and speaker with over 15 years experience helping clients transform so that they are living bolder, happier, and more successful lives. Through a combination of her world-class coaching program and exclusive assessments, her mission is to get to the crux of your issues quickly and accurately, and then guide you to achieve sustained and higher levels of clarity, joy, energy, connection, influence, and overall performance in every area of your life. To learn more or to contact Lauren, go to laurenjano.com.
If you know someone who wants the legal A-team on their side, have them call on Altenburn & Associates, the Legal Eagle, today. David Altenburn is an experienced and recognized top lawyer in Houston who will put an eagle's eye to protecting the client's best interests at all times. For any personal injury, family law, or business law concern, Altenburn & Associates can help with our connections that count and make a difference for great results. We work hard for the justice our clients deserve, earning client trust and opponent respect, one case at a time. For legal help, call 281-904-6330 today.
Do you want to know the secret to building a successful business quickly? It's all about taking action, but not just any action. It takes inspired and consistent action to get profits. Join Michelle Sism, the six-figure results lady, as she asks successful entrepreneurs their profitable secrets every Monday at 2 p.m. Central Time on Take Action, Get Profits with Michelle Sism on the Tough Talk Radio Network. If you're ready to take action and get profits, you can find out more about the show at TakeActionGetProfitsRadio.com.
Awesome. And we are back with our first guest of the show. Jim, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Jim. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Finally have a sunny day here in New York.
Yeah. Are you guys having okay weather? Or I know you had some stuff headed that way.
Yeah, we had some residual effects of the storm, but it's beautiful today.
Okay, fantastic. So what I like to do, Jim, is introduce you to everyone. I'll do your bio, and then I really, you know, we'll just come back and have a chat because I really want to know, you know, how you got into the marketing game, what you're doing now, that kind of thing. So,
sure.
Cool. So, guys, this is Jim Hull, and Jim, he's the founder and CEO of Visify. Jim's been in marketing in some capacity since 1991. In that time, he has since worked on hundreds of campaigns for businesses ranging in size from the United Nations, Cushman & Wakefield, and Subway to local shops and restaurants and solo business owners, as well as several nonprofits. He enjoys learning and challenging himself whenever he can and sees creating marketing campaigns as solving a problem, the problem of how to get your message to the right people and how to get them to buy, sign up, or donate. He's been an active community member as well, member of NGLCCNY since 2009, and a board member of the Marriage Equality New York from 2001 to 2011. And when I was on your site, I learned something new about you. I've been knowing Jim for, gosh, I don't know, a year and a half now. So we have the same coach, so we get to hang out in our mastermind together. And he came and he was a sponsor, he and his partner, Lucas were a sponsor at my event in Legacy Live. That was exciting, but I was on your website, and I learned three things. Number one, I didn't know you lived in Japan for 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
Number two, I didn't know you produced a movie in the Philippines. What? Where did that come from?
That came from, to tell you real quick, I had a business before with a lifestyle business, and it was at the point where it was taking care of itself, which was a wonderful place to be. So I decided to take a few months and go do something I wanted to do. So,
how cool is that?
Yeah,
I noticed that it said that, you know, what matters to you is enjoying time away from New York City too, right? That it's all about living your legacy lifestyle, which is something we talk a lot about on the show. So very cool, Jim. So tell us a little bit about the background, you know, outside of the bio. What was it that drew you into marketing? And then we're going to talk about what you're up to now.
Sure. Well, honestly, it was one of those things that just happened. What I really wanted to do was work abroad. And this is how I ended up in Japan. I took a job right out of school working in the marketing division of Panasonic in Tokyo. So that was my first exposure. So this was marketing, pre-digital marketing. This was marketing in the old school sense. We had one computer that we shared among the six people on my team. So there wasn't a whole lot of digital marketing happening then. But I learned a lot about gathering, you know, about data, about the importance of data for marketing, because that's really how, especially in big companies, in any size company, but big companies, data is extremely critical to their decisions, because if they are off by a couple percentage points, that can mean, you know, millions of dollars. So,
very cool. Awesome. And so how long did you stay there?
I was there for 3 years.
Yeah, okay. And then did you stay with a firm when you came back, or when did you decide to kind of go out on your own?
Go out on my own. Yeah, I did that a couple times. the first time, I was too early. I wasn't ready for it. I was working I took a job in New York at a different company, still in a Japanese company doing marketing again. And after a couple of years there, I kind of realized that being in the corporate world wasn't really for me. I thought it was that I didn't want to be in Tokyo anymore, but I realized it wasn't that. It was that I didn't want to be in marketing. I'm not marketing, in corporate. I liked the marketing. I just didn't like the corporate aspect of it. So they had assigned me the job of figuring out, what is this new thing called the World Wide Web, and how can we use it? So I took that on and learned everything I could. And within a few months, I realized, you know, this is like the new frontier. This is something that I could really, if I decided to get involved now, I could actually make, you know, a new career for myself, and this could be my way out that I've been looking for. And so I went and I started up a business doing it. And within a year, I was back in the job, because I had no idea what I was doing starting a business. And there just wasn't the infrastructure out there to support me at that time. This was like 1996. So I didn't know about coaches. There wasn't the internet to do research or anything like that. There was a little bit, but not to the level that it is now. So, but then the second time I, you know, stayed in that business, I stayed at that company for until about 2004. And then again, I decided to make the leap. And this time I did it with a little bit more smarts and a little more planning. And it actually worked out, and I've been doing that ever since.
Very cool. When did you start Visify?
So Visify is about 2 years old. It is the result of kind of a merger of two different businesses, although it's officially not a merger, but the principles of two different businesses came together. What I had started was a design and development business. So that was fairly profitable. Like I said, it allowed me to sort of take off for a few months and do my thing. But and then my business partner had a marketing and SEO business. SEO was a lot more critical to the business than it is now. But it's really, we just decided we wanted to join forces and create something bigger than either of us could do on our own.
Very cool. Very cool. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, the marketing direction that you guys are taking your clients. And I know that you know, you still do the design, you still do the development, and you do a lot of lead gen work. Marketing automation is a really big thing for you guys. So let's talk about where you, you know, like to play with your clients. What is it that you specialize in for them?
We like to say, well, the specialty is really lead generation, like you said. And the field that we play on is the digital marketing space. So Facebook and other social media advertising, mm-hmm. Google search advertising, like AdWords and the display network. We also do, like you said, a lot of email automation, so marketing automation, and sort of putting all those pieces together. Landing pages fit in there somewhere. We don't do a whole lot of web work anymore. It mm-hmm. definitely is a factor, but it's usually as part of a bigger campaign.
Yeah.
But a lot of what you just talked about in the intro, you know, with creating valuable content that you deliver to people, move them along that path from interest to engagement to client, hopefully. And,
yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what we do.
So, and just kind of keeping in that conversation, talk to me about, well, number one, who are your ideal clients? Before I go too deep, who are you working with?
You know, we work with a lot of service-based businesses that
okay.
they tend to follow this model, and it works really well for them. So, you know, for example, we have a couple coaches, we have a couple people in the travel space, someone who is a health and wellness professional. And one interesting direction that I'm really happy about, not because I don't like the other one, but I'm very excited about having e-commerce clients starting to come on board, which is pretty cool. So,
yeah,
we just signed up a Housewares client. They created a whole line of Italian-designed housewares by these amazing, notable designers, and it's just a lot of fun because it's a lot quicker of a sales cycle than selling a $25,000 coaching program, you know?
Right, exactly.
Really quickly.
Very cool. So, okay, so let's. I would say that the majority of the audience listening is the solo to small business owner. So, a lot of them service based. So, let's stay in that thought process.
Sounds great.
When your clients come to you, what is the main issue that they're dealing with?
It's one of a few things. Either they are not getting leads at all because they're not really doing anything, or they. You know, they have some products that they have some services that they're selling, but they don't have the whole funnel infrastructure that you talked about, having a tripwire, having other lower level products. So we work with them on that. Or they're getting people, you know, but they're not the right people. So we're helping, we help them get more targeted on who they can reach.
Okay. And I'm sorry, I was just taking some notes here.
Sure.
Okay, so they show up, but and that makes total sense. It's really always about lead gen and clients, either gaining new clients or retaining old clients, right? So where do you have them start to look? What's the process with you? What's the first thing you guys look at?
Well, the first thing is we have an intensive session with them that we call a VIP day, pretty common term in the industry, where we sit down and we help them get really clear on who they're trying to reach. And that's the most important thing because a lot of times that's really where the problem is, that they're not clear enough about it. You know, I want to serve women entrepreneurs, great, but what specifically? You know, that's a huge market. So let's narrow that down a little bit. And so then, you know, get really clear on that and then help them think about what platforms make sense for them because every platform has a slightly different audience, a different approach, and you know, they may be better served by a B2B platform like LinkedIn versus Facebook. So we get them to look at those different avenues and then come up with a plan for the year of what it's going to take to get to their goals. And so there's going to be work on their part. That's the thing. We're a service business. We are completely done for you service, but we can't write what you're an expert in. We can't create your content. So there's definitely, so we need to get them to get clear on what, you know, what we do and what they're still going to do. So we figure out that plan of, you know, what kinds of freebies they need to create, what emails and videos they're going to need to do, And they can be as simple as looking at your video. Now it's just sitting, you know, sitting at your desk with, an iPhone on a tripod maybe, or maybe a step above from that. And that's all it needs to be. But, yeah, you need to create that kind of content yourself.
That's a good point. And that was actually what I was going to ask you next, which is what type of content you see that's really working right now in the digital realm, right? And then the whole conversation besides that fact that I created that video on my cell phone with a tripod, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's not,
I mean, and
it's not,
I'm sure it's doing really well for you because that's not the
science.
Point. It's about the content, right?
Correct.
If the content
Correct.
Is good, the medium is less critical. But video definitely is big right now. Keeping content bite-sized is really important. Certainly there's definitely a need for and a place for longer form content. So moving someone from, say you're going to do a longer series about speaking as a way to bring
right.
people in. Maybe you're going to offer them 3 20-minute videos or 3 half-hour videos on this topic. That's a whole different thing. But as far as at this phase where you are right now with engaging with people, if you give them a 20 or 30-minute video, it's not going to do anything much for you. So you want to keep it sort of bite-sized. The idea is, like, for these freebies, you want to keep them in the realm of something that they can consume into 5 minutes or less.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a video, whether it's a tip sheet, an ebook. So downloading your entire book as an ebook is not a good freebie. It's too long.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, very good. So blogging, you guys are focused a lot on social media advertising.
Correct.
So I know you're doing like Facebook, Google. I saw quite a few different platforms,
LinkedIn
maybe.
Yep.
Yes, Twitter. There's some new ad stuff going on Twitter now.
Yep.
So when we talk about social media advertising, what do you think the big things that people need to know about that are? What's the big issue?
Sure. Well, a few things. One, don't worry about and don't rely on your page having likes as a way of generating leads for you. Not to say that that's insignificant. It definitely validates you when people look you up. If you have one or two people and they're your friends as your fans, you know, I don't even think you can advertise at that level anyway. But if you focus on getting people to like your page, that's probably not going to get you the most conversions. And if you rely on your page to generate visitors and leads, you're going to end up disappointed because only about 10% of your page subscribers, fans, whatever they're being called now, will see any given post that you put up. So you really need to pay to get that in front of people. It's completely
right.
changed to make it to the point where you need to pay. The other piece is you mentioned blogs and ads. Ads on Facebook are not like the ads you see on TV or in magazines. They really, especially to cold leads, should be about content. So actually creating a blog post and using that as the basis of an ad isn't a bad way of getting word out about that blog post, because you're providing value. So, it's not the same thing as like boosting a post. It doesn't have to even be posted on your page, but you can take a blog post, create an ad from it, excerpting it, and sending people to that blog post, and then start engaging from there.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. And again, remembering that, I think there's a really big misconception and that social media ads should, convert directly to cash. It's part of the process that leads people into your funnel, or at least that's the way I like to look at it. So
completely.
Are you in agreement there? Yeah.
Completely agree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, so we have, not very, very long before we go to the break. I want to be sure, number one, I don't think I said your website earlier, so I need to do that right now. You guys can connect with Jim at visifyllc.com. That's visifyllc.com. And Jim, do you have anything you want to, leave them with? You have something you want to share, give them, anything like that?
Sure. Yeah, I'm going to offer them the same thing we offered at your event, actually. It's the Ultimate Webinar Funnel. It's an outline of a way you can put together an evergreen webinar funnel for your clients to just keep those leads coming in. And if you want to just add /take action to visifyllc.com, you can sign up for that webinar funnel. Absolutely.
Awesome. So visifyllc.com/take action?
Yep. No space, no
dash.
There you go. Just take action.
There you go. Write that down so I don't forget for after a while when I close this up. Thank you so much, Jim. It's been great having you here. You guys are just awesome over at Visify. I'm so impressed with everything you guys are doing, and it was good to have you on the show.
Thank you very much, Michelle. Take care.
You're so welcome. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with our second guest for the show.
Listen to The Legal Eagle and The Coach each Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. on Tough Talk Radio Network. Leading local and national experts in business will share their keys to success so that our listening audience can be educated and entertained along the way to becoming all they can be. So whether you're new to business or highly experienced, The Legal Eagle and The Coach with hosts David Alterburn and Brian Kaiser is a great radio program for you. For more information, go to LegalEagleAndTheCoachRadio.com.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio media where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
Imagine taking your business to the masses using proven marketing techniques. What if you could take what you love and turn it into a six-figure business in the next 2 years? Or a $500,000 business in the next 3 to 4 years? Michelle Sism went from struggling to build her coaching practice to doing $500,000 in her business in less than 4 years when she uncovered the secrets to converting audiences to clients. In Cash In on Your Expertise, Michelle shares the exact strategy she used to build her business so quickly. Get your free copy today at www.cashinonyourexpertise.com.
Wonderful, and we are back with John Polish. John, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, so what? Nice to meet you.
You too.
Welcome to the show. So, John, what I like to do is I like to start by reading people's bios because I don't want to mess anything up. And then I want to come back and get the real story according to John. How about that? Does that work?
Sounds great.
All right, fantastic. So, guys, this is John Polish. And in 2009, John became the proud father of Abigail Ann Polish. And Abby was born with a rare genetic disorder, and she only lived for 42 hours. But her short life would have a lasting impact on everyone around her. John wrote the book, A Systematic Guide to Finding Your Happiness, to help people put things in their proper perspective and to find happiness regarding of the circumstances. John realized that the same concepts that make a healthy, happy person also make a healthier, happier business, which is the title of his second book. He's now dedicated to helping people create healthier and happier businesses. He speaks about the importance of going out of your way to make your customers and employees happy, and he gives you some great tools to help you find your happiness, too, along the way. So, John, just first of all, welcome to the show. I was just kind of digging around on your website, looking at all the cool stuff you've been up to. I love that. I think are you still doing your own radio show? You got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, I have to say.
Very cool. So why don't you give us a little bit more of the backstory and kind of how things have progressed for you since 2009?
Yeah, so you know, like you said, my daughter was born with a genetic disorder. It was my first and only child. And then afterwards, I just noticed that a lot of people around me were getting what I call stuck. They were stuck in their circumstances, that people were just miserable, sometimes over some little things, sometimes they were big things, but just having difficulty picking up and moving forward. And after going through a lot of tragedy myself, I applied some of the strategies that I was using to help myself and started teaching it to other people. And so actually came up with something I call the personal happiness graph, which allows me to put somebody's life on a graph in a couple of minutes and help them see like what areas they're struggling with and where they may want to change their focus to. So.
Oh, very cool. So do you do a lot of and in the bio it said that you kind of moved this conversation into the business world as well with your second book, right? And is
Correct.
It still based on the happiness graph or?
Yeah, so the personal happiness graph is five categories that we have expectations in. I call them my praise categories, an acronym, P for people, R for responsibilities, A for the activities, dollar sign for the money, and E for environment. So I look at those five areas of our lives that seem to encompass our expectations, and kind of in moving that into the business world, I realized that those same five categories affect the way we run our businesses and, just our employees' happiness, what our customers are looking for. And there's some simple strategies that I use on the personal development side that are applicable to the business side as well. So it was a pretty easy transition there.
And I think I read somewhere on your site that you have a lot of marketing background as well.
I do.
You do.
Quite a bit of marketing experience prior to all this, so it's always handy, I suppose.
That's exactly right. So with that, that makes a lot of sense with the whole praise conversation, right? I saw the statement on your website that said your dreams are worthy of praise. I thought that was awesome, by the way. I just wanted to tell you that. And so what I really wanted our conversation to be about today is finding out more about you and what you might have coming up, but also the conversation around people, right, the P in praise, and whether that is making your customers happy. Are your employees or team members happy? I just wanted to kind of get your perspective on what that looks like, what that means for small business owners, solopreneurs. So how about we start there?
Great. The people area, it's when I look at the graph on people, it's the area that we rate as most important than not. We view people as extremely important to us, naturally. Mm-hmm. It's also the area of greatest discontent. So it seems like a lot of us want deeper, more meaningful relationships, but we just don't have them. And especially in this age of social media and everything, it seems like there's more desire to be connected, but less connection. And a lot of that carries over into the workplace as well. So, when we ask people about what relationships they're interested in or what relationships they desire, it's usually family, friends, stuff outside of work, but we spend, a large majority of our time at work, and yet we don't spend enough time focusing on the relationships with our coworkers or customers or management employee relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So I think by focusing more on those types of relationships, it's going to help us, feel better about the people in our lives in general. So.
Right. So let's expand on that conversation a little bit. And what do you think, I guess maybe what's the biggest issue for the business owner, for the entrepreneur, when it comes to, let's start with employee team type relationships. And do you think that, actually I'll let you answer the question without me giving you the ABC, right? What do you think is the biggest issue for them in this scenario to begin with?
What I have found so far that I feel is the biggest issue is that we tend to be so task-oriented, and a lot of times when we're dealing with our employees, and that it's task first. And that's what really seems to alienate the employees. They feel like their only value is in the task. So a lot of times you'll come right at them with, did you get this done, or what about that? And they might be dealing with a personal issue or just want a deeper connection, whereas, Dale Carnegie said it 100 years ago, if you just take the time to get to know a person's name and something about their family and lead into the conversation, it'll have a much greater response than leading with the task.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. I really feel a lot of people are unhappy at work because they really don't feel valued. And a lot of that can be changed with just the approach to the conversation before you bring up the task.
One of the things that that's really bringing to mind for me is that a lot of, you know, we do see a lot of entrepreneurs, small business owners with a fairly strong personality, right? It takes that to go out on your own and begin a business. And so I could see how they may just really be going through their day, right? And they just know the task needs to be done. And so what I've seen in my clients is that a lot of times they don't realize that the people that are working for them don't have that personality or don't have that approach, right? So they should step back and ask how things are done. So what would you have them do differently?
Yeah, you're exactly right. One of the things that we've done is developed some courses to go along with each of the categories. And one of the courses for the people is just to do a personality types study. One of the things that I noticed is I'm that type A leader type personality, which is great in a lot of situations, but it can be overbearing at times too. So I have to understand my personality to where I might be task-oriented and want to get something done. And I think that I'm going in with the right intentions, but I might be dealing with a person who's much more sensitive, and they're going to see that as kind of a bulldozing or bullying even, rather than just understanding that the person I'm talking to, their personality and mine are going to mesh differently depending on who I'm talking to. And we really have to be cognizant of who we're talking to and how they're going to take it. So personality studies, I think, are huge when it comes to communicating in the workplace.
It's such a big awakening. I am also that type A personality and spent a lifetime directing employees from that personality. And then probably, I don't know, it's probably been about 10, 12 years ago at this point, someone took me to a personality class. And I went, uh-oh, okay. Now I see why sometimes they call me bad words. So, it changed everything, right?
It does.
And listen, it does. And it also, it not only changed everything in my employees and in my, in our office and our business, but it also changed everything at home because then I understood how my children operated and how they saw me and how my husband operated and how he saw me and how I was showing up in those positions. So, yeah, I love that you're coming at it from all directions as well, not just from the business direction, but what they changed there and what they learned there.
Right. I've taken several of those different courses. One of the ones that I really enjoy is Dr. Gary Smalley does the animal study. And it takes basically that type A personality, and they refers to him as the lion. And there's times now when I'll be talking to, you know, friends or family, and I'll see that look in their face, and I'll realize I'm being a lion right now, and they're not getting it. So totally changes the way we have to talk to people.
That's right. So let's flip the coin just a little bit, and let's talk about customers being happy, or clients being happy. So what do we see going on there?
A lot of times it's the same thing. I mean, they're looking for the exact same things that we're looking for. They're looking for communication, feeling valued. And often we think that it's just about our product or our price, and sometimes it is the personal connection, but, you know, it's a lot of times it's just figuring out what their wants are and their needs are, you know, and not just assuming that we know more than anything.
Yeah.
So depending on the nature of your business, something as simple as, you know, a cup of coffee or water can make a huge difference in a transaction. Just to be able to present a different approach, a more friendly approach, than, again, being task oriented. If dealing with the person first and the task second usually evokes a much greater response. So,
So in your happiness graph or your praise thingy, where the responsibility is the R. Talk to me a little bit about that.
The responsibility, a lot of times, as far as the workplace goes, I look at that as making sure that we have the right pieces in the right place. So I do a thing with the old 1980s board game Perfection with all the little geometric shapes and making sure they're all in the right spot. One of the things that happens a lot of times is we'll hire a person based on the job that we have available, and people take it because they need the money. But we may find out later on that they're better suited to do something else within the organization. But a lot of times we kind of typecast our employees. And so I hired you to do this job, and that's the only thing that I look at you as now, rather than realizing, like, perfect example is you could have a person who has a graphic design business on the side, but you don't know that because you hired them to do accounting, and you're outsourcing your graphic arts. You know, there's just by taking
right.
an inventory of interests and, you know, what your employees' skill sets are, could end up saving you money. It could make your employees going to be happier doing something they're better wired to do. A lot of times it's really getting to know what your employees are good at.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the examples I use is that years ago I was working in a school that wanted to adopt a sports management program. But because I was hired in a totally different capacity, nobody ever mentioned it to me. They were talking to PE teachers about a sports management program. And my first career was in sports management, but because that wasn't what I was hired in, nobody even thought to ask me about it. You know, like, I had a wealth of experience in it.
Right. Well, yeah.
Just understanding. Yeah. Understanding
yeah,
what the gifts and talents are.
I know. I've seen that happen in my own business, and we actually shifted someone to a different role after, you know, one day I went, wow, how did you know how to do that? Had no idea she had done that in the past, right? And it actually just kind of was in that graphic area as well. And so we just we moved her into a role, and she loves it and is very happy in that new role, right? Because that's where she likes to play. So very cool.
Right.
Well, let's stay on that same path with activities.
Activities in the workplace can be anything from having a sales competition to every once in a while just breaking out the putting green and having a little contest in the office, anything to break the monotony. You know, a lot of times team building activities are nothing more than just getting you out of your daily rut. And sometimes they could be work related and sometimes just something for fun. One of the dangers is that we tend to lean towards things like happy hours. And if you have employees that have families at home or really don't feel like drinking, you kind of alienate. So I really encourage people to just do little fun things in the office periodically, just to keep it interesting. And we're seeing a lot of movement towards that in the business world with companies like, you know, Google and Zappos. That I have a friend that works at Zappos here in Vegas, and she desperately needed a Nerf gun to shoot her employees or coworkers with, you know, to manage to get through. It was like part of the job requirements. I thought, how fun is that? That they're getting their work done, but they're doing little things to recharge along the way.
I was in Vegas, I guess maybe 2 months ago, and we did the Zappos tour again while I was there. I had done it about 3 years ago. So, yeah, that's an interesting place, and you're right. It's just the creativity and the breather and the fact that people weren't sitting at their desk. They were working wherever they wanted to work. You know, a lot of that kind of stuff was really cool. So,
yeah,
excellent.
I feel like the old way of doing business was just to drive, 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 and a lot of times it ends up being less productive than recharging.
Yeah.
And giving them something fun to do to recharge and get back to work. So.
Yeah, very cool. We don't have a whole lot of more time before we get to the break, but I want to go just kind of get the overview on money and then environment real quick.
Money, I absolutely believe in financial education. As a company, you could save yourself money by putting your employees through a financial education program. There's some great ones out there. Like one of my favorites is the Financial Peace University of Dave Ramsey's. Just teaching people to be better managers of their own money rather than – if you give somebody a raise, chances are they're going to find a way to spend that money just like they do now, and it's going to cost you money versus really working with your employees and figuring out what their goals are and just send them to a class. You know, get them some way to get them financial education so that, you know, they can become better stewards of their resources as well.
Right.
A lot of companies are doing that now, and I think it's great. I think that's one of the things that we don't learn enough in school is how to manage your money and what to do with it. And, you know, if your employee would be willing to do that for you, it kind of goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
Just in
the
employee relations aspect. So.
Awesome. And then environment?
Environment in the workplace is literally as simple as it sounds. You know, is it functional? Is your workplace functional? Is it relaxing? One of the first things that I'd tell people is just go check out the employee restroom area. If it looks like it's, you know, a gas station bathroom, it's probably not a good thing. You know, just whatever you can do to make it comfortable for your employees. and allowing them to put little personal knickknacks. And it really depends on the nature of your business, but giving them a personal touch, like I said, with them customers, when they walk into your place, do they see, I believe that they, your customers should see enough of a buzz going on to know that you're doing business, but they don't necessarily have to see the back end of everything that you do.
Right.
Sometimes you can walk into a place and it's eerily quiet and you're wondering what they're really up to. And then other times you feel like you walked right into the production line. So,
yeah.
Depending on the nature of your business, there's all kinds of things that you can do to your environment to make it a little more comfortable for your employees and your customers.
Cool. Very good. Well, so we are about time to go to break. I want to make sure that we get everybody connected to you. What would be the best way for them to get in touch with you or to follow you or whatever you want to share with them?
I have a website at johnpolish.com. You can like us at Finding Your Happiness on Facebook or John Polish on Facebook. And we're available to do workshops and seminars whenever you'd like. I also have my book, Finding Your Happiness, is available on Amazon.com as well.
Very good. And you do a lot of speaking, it looks like, from moving around on your website. I see lots of pictures of you out speaking. So looking for other speaking.
Can never do enough.
I
always
well.
Love to get out there.
That's
and
right. Awesome. Well, thank you, John. It's been great having you on the show today.
Thanks a lot.
All right, guys. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
So you think you're tough, tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone.
Live at Choice, where your imagination becomes your reality. If you can imagine it, it's possible. If you can believe it, it's yours. We get it. You're done with the way it is now. You're finished with all the frustration around why you feel stuck and your life isn't working. Imagine what your life would be like if you could have all the answers and see new possibilities. We at Live at Choice choose to make a difference. Live at Choice has developed a proven process and a series of questions that lead participants to the answers they seek, gaining new understanding and self-awareness for both your personal and professional life. If you're ready to get to the life you want, contact us today. Visit liveatchoice.com to get started.
Imagine taking your business to the masses using proven marketing techniques. What if you could take what you love and turn it into a six-figure business in the next 2 years? Or a $500,000 business in the next 3 to 4 years? Michelle Sism went from struggling to build her coaching practice to doing $500,000 in her business in less than 4 years when she uncovered the secrets to converting audiences to clients. In Cash In on Your Expertise, Michelle shares the exact strategy she used to build her business so quickly. Get your free copy today at www.cashinonyourexpertise.com.
All right, and we are back, and again, two more fabulous guests this week. We started out the show with talking about some of the some marketing that we're doing in Decisive Minds and how that is it's really a lead generation strategy to drive more people in to find out more about us, but it's all designed through a content marketing strategy where we're putting out lots of great content in the format of blogs, videos, and downloads, driving people through the what we call a tripwire, which is our my book, Take the Risk or Get a Job. And so people see that. They also see a business assessment link, which is free, decisiveassessment.com. And they can take that assessment to find out if they qualify to have a conversation with me about how to improve their business and how to build their business. So it's a really great strategy that's, we've just started the new version of it, and it's exciting to see all of the pieces coming together. For you, I would like to have you look at what you know, what is the content that you should be putting out? How do you reuse content you've created? If you've got lots of content out there already, I am a big believer in repurposing. So do you have previous blog posts that could be updated and placed out again? Or you can just take previous blog posts and utilize them to drive traffic, right? You can always go back and pull great content that you've created in the past and look at it in a different format. Maybe you've written an article. Maybe you've written a book and you take a chapter out of that book and you record yourself reading it, and that just became content. You know, you've just got the sound, the audio only. Maybe you set up your cell phone and you record yourself visually reading it or talking about that particular topic, one chapter out of the book, right? And you create a download that goes along with that. So more than likely it's some version of a checklist or a template of some sort. And utilize these tools to get people on your email list so that you can have a continuing conversation with them and you know, get them to see who you are and why they should be talking to you and what your services are about and why they should be buying them and what it is that you're going to do for them, what that change is. So really great strategies. We talked a little more about that with Jim Hull from Visify. So, you know, you can find out more about Jim at visifyllc.com, V-I-S-I-F-Y-L-L-C.com. And he also had a great little giveaway for you, and you can find that at visifyllc.com/take-action. And then we just spent some time talking to John Polish and John's idea on his different ideas on how to create happiness in life and in business. It was a really interesting conversation about what he calls his praise method. And you know, during that he talks about people, responsibilities, activities, money, and environment. If you can check out more about John at johnpolish.com, P-O-L-I-S-H, johnpolish.com. And, you know, I just want to invite you to be looking at what are the strategies, what are the tools, what are the marketing pieces that you're using to drive people to a conversation that involves sales, right? So all of this is to help you see, to help you build the connections that allow you to have the sales conversations that it requires for you to make the money to expand your business, right? To live the lifestyle, the legacy lifestyle that you're wanting to live, to have that business that starts to have the financial responsibilities that allow you to bring in the team to work it and you not have to do everything. So, excuse me. So I just want you guys to really be looking at, is my list growing? Is my audience growing? Am I getting in front of enough people? Should I be speaking? What are those things that I need to be doing to let the world know about the change that you want to make in this world, right? We talked about the event. We talked a lot about exponential growth. And to gain exponential growth, the current scenario is to utilize these kind of strategies, this kind of content creation to build a community of like-minded people. We do that through social media, through digital, right? People are very digital these days. It's just a proven fact. And if you haven't come to that realization in your business, then we need to have a conversation because it's extremely important that you get out there and be seen. What kind of content can you repurpose or do you need to be creating to get out there and get in front of the right people? All right, so this is Michelle Sism. One last time, you can go check out what we've been up to, decisiveminds.com/one-sheet. And you'll kind of it'll just walk you right through the process and see how we're implementing in our business, and feel free to steal the strategy and implement it in yours. All right? I'm giving it to you. All righty, guys. This is Michelle Sism saying be decisive. We'll talk again next Monday. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Take Action and Get Profits with Michelle Sism, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.